Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, John Lomparis with the Institute on Religion and Democracy. This May, United Methodist Church delegates from around the globe will gather and vote on whether or not to split the denomination in favor of LGBTQ weddings. Today, we continue the conversation. The people coming up with the likely plan to divide the denomination would require a 57% vote for the conservative view on marriage, while those hailing LGBTQ ceremonies would need just 44% of the vote. John, would you give us some details about the group working on this protocol of reconciliation and grace through separation?
With increasing talk of the denomination splitting, Bishop John Yambasu of Sierra Leone called this group together to see a way forward where it's not just continued bitter fighting of each other. And there were a couple representatives of unofficial evangelical caucuses based within the United States that were there. But then there were also representatives of, number one, liberal unofficial caucuses, number two, representatives of our bishops, and number three, people that were there supposedly to represent United Methodists outside of the United States. And I'm not aware of any people in the other three groups that would be on the side of the U.S. evangelical caucuses in terms of being defenders of traditional biblical values. So it was not representative of where the people in the pews are, but they had a series of meetings that were moderated by a prominent professional mediator named Kenneth Feinberg. The thinking was that as a liberal Jewish guy, he did not have a dog in the fight of a liberal Protestant denomination's internal doctrinal debates, so there was a degree to which he could be trusted to be fair.
I heard there was a connection with someone involved with the 9/11 compensation fund.
Yes, he had some role in overseeing the compensation fund for victims of those terrorist attacks. That was part of his experience that was cited for why we'd be a good person, is that he was negotiating that. He's negotiated some other very prominent deals.
John, under this plan, what would happen as far as the name and the church buildings?
The terms are still being negotiated. I would hope that in terms of the name and the logo of the church, that there could be some continued use where both sides could say that it's not the conservatives leaving, but it's one part of the United Methodist Church that is continuing different. Conservatives are much more willing to make sacrifices of things like money and property for the sake of peace and the sake of moving forward in ministry. And we've seen in this deal, all of the denomination's properties, like the United Methodist building in Washington, D.C., would be taken over by the liberal new denomination. And of the denomination's assets, there would be a minority share, $25 million, that would go with the conservative denomination. But in terms of local church properties, every local church would get to keep its property with whichever denomination it ended up in.
Wow.
There's a really strong desire to avoid what we've seen in like the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church USA, where liberals have taken over a denomination and then they've been absolutely ruthless in suing their former co-religionists over church property and spending literally millions of dollars and hiring lawyers to sue traditionalist Christians.
So homosexuality, John, has been a contentious battle in the church universal for years. Have we Christians fallen behind on addressing homosexuality from the Bible?
Yes, the Bible could be hardly more clear that homosexual practice is immoral. We do need to acknowledge, I think, that we Bible-believing evangelical Christians have sometimes failed to be compassionate to those in our churches and families who have found themselves, through no choice of their own, struggling with their own sexuality or sexual identity. When we focus too exclusively on homosexuality, our friends who self-identify as LGBTQ can feel like they're being unfairly singled out. The fact is, we have lots of other problems that we need to be talking about, not instead of, but as a both and. In terms of very widespread internet pornography, that's an issue for probably a much greater number of people, and also widespread acceptance, even in the church to some degree, of cohabitation. I just saw a recent prominent survey reporting that of adults that researchers identified as quote-unquote fundamentalist Christians, only 37% said that sex outside of marriage was always wrong, while 41% said it was not wrong at all.
Wow. I feel like there's this struggle in our culture where everyone wants to kind of be God themselves, not recognizing that God has our best at heart. And that's why he gave us these boundaries for our own well-being.
In some ways, it goes back to our first parents, God sent some boundaries that were there for their own good, but then they heard, did God really say that? Well, let's give a try to this forbidden fruit. Maybe we think we can figure out a way to do things better than the boundaries God set out for us. And that didn't work out so well for them.
John, you're one of the delegates that will get to vote in May. Is there anything that people in the United Methodist Church can do right now?
Yes, please pray for us. People are looking for updates about developments. Please go to our website, www.theird.org. We urge people to pray for a fair and faithful resolution to this. If they have concerns about this plan, and particularly about some of the just blatant unfairness to more traditional believers, they should find out who the delegates are from their region and share their concerns with their delegates and their bishop.
That's John Lomparis at the Institute on Religion and Democracy. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.